Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we ask that you open our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit to hear this rather tough message that comes to us today from St. Paul, a message that needs to be heard by every church everywhere, and hopefully starting in this place and going forth. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The more that I look out over the fields of Christianity today, the more I see a great loss, the loss of love. It saddens me today to see that more and more within churches and congregations, within Christianity and neighbors, love seems to be decaying. In fact, so much so that if you read St. John's Revelation, the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 2 deals with this quite completely. And this letter that John writes to the church in Ephesus clearly says to them, you're losing the love of God. You're losing your first love, which is Jesus. And as a result of that, you're failing to love not only your brothers and sisters in Christ, but you're failing to love God and you're failing to love your neighbor. And I really believe that letter is written for a time such as this. Because as you look out over the fields of Christianity, you see it happening. Christians are failing to love. They're failing to love each other. They're failing to love their neighbors. And it's so prevalent as we see pastors like the one in Dallas, and we won't mention his name, but he has a real big church, stand up and say moronic, unchristian things that are racist and bigoted. And we wonder what happens and why people look at us Christians as the most bigoted, hate-filled people in Christianity. It gives us a bad name. The reality is, love is the greatest right of the church. That's what St. Paul says in our letter for today. It's the greatest right that you and I as Christians have. It's the greatest right that is above every right, and that is love. And I hear people sit back and say, well, the government is taking our rights away. Or society is taking our rights away. But the fact of the matter is, that's absolutely incorrect. The government can't take your right to love away, nor can society. The church is taking its own right to love away as we as Christians fail at upholding our right to put love above everything else in all the world. Because in reality, there is only one word that describes Christianity, and that is love, because God is love. We are all guilty of it. I'm guilty of it. You're guilty of it. St. Paul is talking about it today. We are guilty of allowing our wants, our own desires, our own wishes, our own rights to overshadow the love that we are called to share with our neighbors. That's the whole thing Paul is talking about today in the message. Listen, if you're eating something that's going to offend somebody, give up your right for the good of your neighbor. But that's hard for us as Christians to do, right? Because we want our way. We want what we want, and we want it now. That's the society we live in. After all, Burger King says it best, have it your way right away. And that's the society we live in. We rather put ourselves, our own rights, our own wants, our own desires, our own cares, our own passions above the good of everyone else. And what St. Paul says is that destroys the faith of others. It's the opposite of love. Instead of building each other up, we tear each other down. And it's seen in the church with greed and materialism, lack of forgiveness and holding grudges. And it happens in this church and every church. It happens in our homes and in our families. I'm good at holding grudges. I still have grudges that I have to work on myself. Violating the eighth commandment. And you know the eighth commandment says, don't gossip, don't lie about each other. Instead, forgive each other and build one another up. Gossip, being true or not true, is not the love of Christianity. Pitching fits and making threats when things don't go our way. I've seen this in every church I've served, and it even happens here. I love it. When somebody doesn't get their way, the first thing that happens is they get mad, and they throw a temper tantrum. Love goes out the window. Then they triangulate. They want to get others involved in their little temper tantrum so they get others mad with them, and then they go after the person together. Folks, this destroys Christianity, and it destroys the church. That is not love. And it's not love when we do it at church, and it's not love when we do it with our families, and it's not love when we do it with our neighbors, and it's not love when we do it with our coworkers. Failing to live out God's godly priorities in our lives. We talked about that last week. Not bearing each other's burdens or being our brother's keeper. In reality, Scripture says we are called to bear each other's burdens. That's love. If you're going through a hard time, my call is to be with you and to walk through that hard time with you. If your person you're sitting next to is going through a hard time, that call is to walk with that person through hell and back to make sure they know the love of Jesus. And many times in life, well, am I my brother's keeper? The answer of Scripture is yes. You are responsible for your brother and sister in Christ. This is most certainly true, but not the way we live in our society today. If my brother goes off and does something wrong, oh well, so be it. He will reap what he sows. That's what we are taught. But that's not the way that love of the Bible works. That's not what St. Paul is talking about today. Not bearing each other's burdens or being our brother's keeper. Worry, lust, jealousy, envy, and the list goes on and on. All of these hurt ourselves and hurt those around us. Because the reality is, here's the reality. When we fail to love people, we are failing to love God, and that's a harsh thing to say, but I'm going to be blunt. When we fail to love people, we're failing to love God. Because we can't love God unless we love other people. The two are intricately tied together. They can't be separated. And when we fail to love ourselves, we're failing to love other people, and we're failing to love God. And what this does is it hurts people around us. It hurts our congregation. It hurts our neighbors. It hurts our coworkers. It hurts our family. It hurts the community. It hurts society as they look at Christianity and say, I don't want to be one of them. Why would I be one of them? Why would I be one of them? All of this is rooted in the fact that we fail to love. Fail at loving God, fail at loving ourselves, and fail at loving our neighbors. St. Paul says, whoever loves is known by God. That's what he says in our lesson for today. Whoever loves is known by God. You see, whoever loves, faith has taken root in their heart. Think about this for a second. If you are not a loving person, where is faith in your life? That's a tough question to ask. As I've said and I've said before, there are people sitting in our pews and in every pew in every church who think they're going to heaven but need to take a strict look at their lives. Because if we have not rooted ourselves in love, faith is not present. Faith and love are tied together because God is love. And when we fail to love, we fail to have faith. So God knows us as we love because faith has taken root in our hearts. Whoever loves carries out the law of Christ. St. Paul says, love one another, and in this way you fulfill the love of Christ. The law of Christ. What is the law of Christ? The law of Christ is to love. And think about that for a second. What better law is there? We don't like breaking the law. Well, some of us enjoy speeding. I do. But we don't like breaking the law. And there are other laws, the Ten Commandments, and we don't like breaking those. But the greatest law is love. Think of the freedom of that law. It is not a law that bounds us to sin. It's not a law that bounds us to unhappiness. It's a law that releases us into joy and freedom. It's a law that releases us into the world around us to love the world freely with the good news of Jesus and the gifts that he's given us. When we love each other, it builds us up. When we love each other, we are strengthened. When we love each other, we feel good. When we love each other, scientifically, we know that our immune systems are stronger. Our mental health is better. And our lives will last longer. This is the reality of what happens when we love. Because you and I were designed to be people of love by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Whoever loves honors God with their whole heart, mind, body, and soul. Whoever loves gives up their own rights. Well, that's a tough one, isn't it? I hate that one because I like my own rights. I want what I want. I want it now. I want things done the way I want it done. If you disagree with me, shame on you. But the reality is that's not what God calls us to do. He says as Christians, we give up our own rights for the greatest right of love, for the good of those around us. Thanks be to God in Christ Jesus that he gave up his greatest desire, his heart, his son to forgive us, to love us, and to give us eternity with him. Well, we all fall short of the message for today. Every single one of us falls short of that. There are times where I'm a miserable, sinful human being, and I don't care about love. I'd rather have my way. I'd rather be mean. I'd rather hold grudges. And by golly, I'm part German, so I have the right to do it. But the reality is, thanks be to God in Christ Jesus, who gave up his greatest love in his son Jesus Christ to come down into our world and to love us when we were unlovable. To love us now, even when we are unlovable. To love us so much that he lived a life of perfect righteousness so that when God sees us, he no longer sees our sinfulness, but he sees us as holy and righteous and perfect. To love us so much that he went even beyond that, to take away our sin by dying on the cross, to give us forgiveness, to give us the gift of God's forgiveness, to declare us not guilty, as Hebrews chapter 9 says, that when we die, those who aren't in Christ will rise to the judgment, those who are in Christ will rise into the eternity of heaven, because Jesus Christ has died for us to forgive our sins and to wipe them away once and for all. He remembers them no more. As far as the east is from the west, we have been set free. And then he rose from the dead, as if it wasn't enough just to forgive us. He rose from the dead, sanctifying the grave, and saying, not even the grave will hold you down, because the grave will be your entrance into eternal life. This is the gospel of Jesus. This is love. This is the message that is meant to save, to transform, to change our hearts, our souls, and our lives. When we root ourselves in this message, when this message takes root in our lives through the power of God's grace in his word and his sacrament, we cannot help to be people who love others. We can't help it, because the joy and peace and rejoicing that comes from the message of Jesus Christ cannot be contained. It simply cannot be contained. You see, as we rejoice in the forgiveness and life that Jesus has won for you and me, when we finally get to the place and say, yeah, we're all sinners in the same boat and we mess up, but thanks be to God in Christ Jesus, through his mercy and his love, we are restored and forgiven. When we come to that place, our lives are set free. Our souls are set free. The love within us is set free to conquer the world around us. If the world is going to change, it starts with loving God, loving each other here, and loving the world around us. And I can promise you and guarantee you, above any political statement any other church says, when we love the world around us, the world will change. When we love the world around us, the world will change. Because in that love, the gospel of Jesus takes root in hearts and lives and souls and minds. And together, the kingdom grows. Together, the kingdom of God grows, and the kingdom of hell will decrease as we rejoice in his love, in his victory, and his forgiveness. In the name of Jesus, amen.